1020 Domino and Cellini. The Fan 680 and 93.7 FM. The playoffs, yes, are upon us. Hall of Famer Chipper Jones previewing the series. He was on earlier this week. If you missed any of the conversations with him, any other shows or interviews, they're up at the podcast section. Follow us and listen for free via the mobile app. Also at 680thefan.com. You can follow us at the Jimmy John's Freaky Fresh Twitter feed, Facebook, and Instagram. Chipper Jones going to throw out the first pitch today, the ceremonial first pitch, prior to the real first pitch at 5:02. The Ford leadoff show will come your way at 3:45. And also, don't forget, the gates will open at 2:30. And the young lady joining us right now is going to be a part of ESPN's coverage. She is Nicole Briscoe. We watch her just about every morning at 7 o'clock. Her and Elle Duncan, of course, we go way back. And she is kind enough to join us right now. Welcome aboard.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
Do you want to make a quick announcement for Braves fans who maybe want to get into the building today? Can you let them know that some tickets just became available as a send back? So there were tickets at Braves.com.
Wait, hold on. Why are fans sending their tickets back?
No. Not our fans. Like, I guess there's certain portions of tickets that you go, okay, it's
I
like
gotcha.
A concert. You know, before the concert starts.
I gotcha. Well, go snap them up.
Braves.com.
Like, no kidding.
Exactly.
Go get those.
Domino, I think you had something to do with that.
I don't know if I had anything to do with
that. He's powerful, isn't he?
Very powerful.
He's like the great and powerful Oz. You
yes,
pull back
is.
The curtain, and then there you go.
And as a 56-year-old man who's just getting wrecked by two teenage daughters. Oh, wait, did I just say that out loud?
I have two little ones, both of them girls, but they're little, 5 and 3. I have so much to look forward to.
Can I tell you this? I think I'm pretty sane. If I had a dollar for every night I went to bed wishing them young again, I told my wife I would put them in diapers again. She's like, really? I said, beyond really. I wake up every day. What's that movie with Nicolas Cage? Family Man?
Yeah.
I'm so hoping I wake up there 4 and 2.
I would freeze my kids exactly how they are right now.
You're nicer than me. I said I would put them in a box like veal. Just try to keep them a little bit.
There, you do that all the time. Like, you have as a parent, you have like stages. You're like, oh, they're so cute. Oh, they're this. And then I know it's going to change and it's going to get harder and it's going to get better and it's going to get harder. But they're just so innocent right now. And I
they don't
just
have as much free will. I used to say this all the time. You know where they went? Where I went, because I threw one over each shoulder, and they went where I said they were
going to go. Exactly. You can still, like, divert them. Like, they can have their own opinions, but it doesn't take much to, like, kind of redirect them and get you going, like, in your direction
again. Juice box. A juice box does miracles.
In our house, the punishment is you can't wear a dress. Both of my girls think that they're absolute princesses. I joke that I live in a glitter bomb, right? And so for my 5-year-old, if she's being naughty, which is not often, but if she's doing something, I'm like, look, you don't get to wear a dress tomorrow. All of a sudden, game on, like, different child.
There was a 3-year stretch where I used to say the same thing to him. I just say, you start behaving or else
you can't wear a dress.
Ironically, Nicole, that is how my wife punishes me now. She will not let me wear a dress.
You had to get up and move out of the sun.
Yeah, I
know. This is not Connecticut.
Well, tell everybody what he's wearing, too. He just put them on.
He big-timed me with his sunglasses.
Sure, well, what am I supposed to do? The sun is right in my face. And ironically, I love being in the sun when I'm not working. But now, you know, I'm on the job right now.
Right.
Nicole.
No, you're just getting hot. You got to pace. Yeah, I got you.
Do you know the
important? That I focus.
The conversation every day is the same when the show ends. What are you going to go do?
I'm either going to go to the gym or go to the pool or both.
Okay.
And he has responsibility, so it's wonderful.
Yeah.
Are you like the GTL guy?
Pretty much.
Okay.
I'm ashamed to say. The laundry every other day.
Until you run out of
Nicole.
Things. Yeah. Right, yeah.
So when you walk up, and I don't know, first impressions, you know, you do some of these things, and you have no idea what you're being thrust into.
Right.
The company asks you to do this.
Right.
Hey, go sit down with these idiots. They're going to be close enough. Just, you know, come on over and just say hello.
Promote the product.
Right.
Can I tell you what you're sitting down with? So we've worked together for 20 years. I just want you to understand, have an understanding of what this show was. Not much after we got started, we declared on the air multiple times for multiple years. We were the two toughest guys in Atlanta media.
Now, this was years ago, Mike.
No.
Okay,
all right. And we used to go a step further because we were such big douches. We would claim to fight any three people in the Atlanta media at one time. And we would put out the challenge.
Did anyone ever take you up on this?
I think a couple of people wanted to, but it never materialized.
Yeah, so that's what you're sitting
down with. The only catch is they could not have been a professional athlete. They didn't count.
Okay.
Yeah, you got paid.
Well, had to be in the media,
correct.
But not like an analyst who was a professional
right,
athlete.
But we would take on any three people, though.
Okay, so the fact that I just came from the gym and am like completely gross and disgusting is not offensive to you.
Gosh, no.
Great.
Okay. We prefer that.
Okay, good.
Nicole Briscoe from ESPN with us. Like we said, she is in town covering at least for a day and a half the Braves and the Cardinals. Now, having watched SportsCenter, I know that you're a big Cubs fan. So
I am.
You're not a Cardinals fan, so.
I'm definitely not a Cardinals fan. That doesn't mean that I can't do my job.
Correct.
Like, as a true professional. I will tell you this, and my parents will back this up. Growing up a Cubs fan, I didn't really have a lot of postseason experience, right? My parents used to be in this card group, not Cardinals, but like they used to play euchre every Friday night or whatever. And I was at the age, it was the early 90s, where I could babysit my brother, who's 6 years younger than me. So I could stay home alone, didn't have a car, wasn't really in the, hey, let's go out and do something on a Friday night kind of thing. And I was happy to stay at home and sit in my parents' room because I was too afraid to go downstairs and watch their little TV in the room. And I was obsessed with postseason baseball. Well, who was always in the postseason back in the early 90s?
The Atlanta
Braves. And I fell in love with the Chop. I fell in love with Chipper. I fell in love with Andrew Jones and the pitching. And I fell in love, I think, with the October heartbreak because it made sense for my in-season heartbreak.
Right.
And so if I had a second team my entire life, it was actually always the Braves. Now, as I've gotten older, I've sort of, you know, kind of gone back into just my Chicago roots, and I've had reason to cheer for them in the postseason. But as a kid growing up, I sort of had that sort of warmth for Atlanta.
Well, it's called a secondary team when your team is not good enough to actually get all of
your
love.
I would say back in the day, yeah. I think Atlanta was my secondary team.
Okay. I'll ask you about Madden in a second, but then the WGN relationship as well is ending.
Yeah, I know. And that's, like, for me, that's sad because it's just been, it made the Cubs lovable for so many people, you know, and it put them out there in a way. But the TV world and the way that we watch sports now has changed, and I think that you can still watch whoever you want to watch no matter what anyway. It's just sort of the nostalgia part of it that it's come to an end. How cool was it, though, that the GN people were there to sing the seventh inning stretch and be a part of that to kind of full circle and bring it to an end?
Yeah, whether it's TV or radio, I think the one thing, though, the familiar voice. I'm going to get through a spring and a summer, and God willing, there's going to be some fall. Here, look, with the championship in 95, we can't complain. But there was enough other heartache where you went on and you just said, oh, for the love of God.
Yes.
How is it only one? And it's, you're not
supposed
to say only
one. Well, I feel that way now. But I feel that way now as a Cubs fan a little bit, because you look at it and you're like, okay, so we won the championship. We, because I apparently play for Chicago now. But your team wins the championship in 2016, and you look at the roster and you look at the changes that don't happen, and the talent is still there. So then the next couple of years, when you don't live up to the expectations you put out there, it's a disappointment. And you're like, well, how is it that my team only won one? But then you're like, well, it'd been 108 years since they won that one, maybe I should just be happy they're even in the conversation. And I am. So it's like Randy Scott, my co-anchor in the morning, he's like, you cannot complain for at least 5 years.
Right.
Like, his Capitals won the Stanley Cup. He's like, I can't complain for another three now. You can't complain for another couple of years. Like, you got your championship. Now sit there and shut up.
Nicole Briscoe with us again in town covering the Braves and the Cardinals. So all of that being said, how do you see this thing turning out?
It's, first of all, it's October, and I feel like if anything, the last couple of nights we've seen in the wild card games, it's like a coin flip, right?
Mm-hmm.
There are so many things in parts. Like, who's going to be the strong hitter in this one? Your two big hitters in Atlanta have had the injuries, and Freddie Freeman and Ronald Acuna Matata, by the way. Are they going to be full strength? How's the pitching going to be on the other side? How's the pitching going to be here? I feel like even between the Nats and the Dodgers, I would tend to lean more towards the Dodgers, but it's October, and it's like it's still more of a toss-up.
And it's hard to get to the World Series 3 years in a row.
It's
why
so
you want
hard
to win a division you don't want. But here's what I always, you know, I believe it wholeheartedly, whether it's a Matt Joyce or a Matt Carpenter, who's been a disappointment for them, Yandy Diaz last night, all of a sudden you look and you go, this sport is so built for the guy beyond the left field wall to come in and do something.
It's like you can get streaky, right? And the Cardinals were so good heading into everything but the final week of the season, and then they lost four straight, and the Brewers made a run at it. I never would have expected the way that they were playing, like going into September,
and what
that the Cardinals
the
would have needed to win 162.
But what they
the
did
Cubs
to the
completely
Cubs,
collapsed. Like, just decimated
one
them.
One run games, four game sweep, and all of a sudden you look around and you go, we just played 150 to have this just happen to us.
So I look at this particular series and I feel like this one might be one of the closest. I feel like it's a bit more of a toss-up. And maybe it'll come down to, you know, a one-run game or who has the better pitcher on any given night that surprise guy.
I'll tell you what they're nervous about. They've been the best defensive team in baseball by a lot, not by a little. You think it goes on the bus and it travels with you even more than offense, and that's been the thing in football and in baseball. Defense travels, offense can be up and down. I think there's a little bit of nerve that if defensively they have a bad one and they give away a game, you might not be able to make up for it in the best of five.
I saw the headline this morning, and I think it was from the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, "Welcome to October where you know nothing." And I think that that holds true in this series more than any other series.
And the attitude the Braves are taking now is last year, happy to be here, surprised everybody.
No. You can't be happy to be here anymore.
No, not anymore.
It's the polar opposite now. This is, we have expectations. You have had time to build for this moment. You've had time the last month to get your stars healthy. You've had to make some tough decisions with the roster. You can't be happy to be here anymore. You have to do something with it. And that's how, like, I felt about the Cubs. In 2015, when they played the Mets in the NLCS, I was, like, jumping for joy. This is amazing. We're 2 years ahead of schedule, maybe three. I was just happy to be there. 2016 came around. I wanted it. I wanted my team to do something then, because it was like, nope, we've been there, done that. We enjoyed the ride. Now let's do something with it.
Our analogy had been like the nightclub analogy where, oh, my gosh, they let me in. This year, you're on the VIP list.
Yeah, no.
We're opening the road for you.
You're beyond the line now.
Right. Hey, worst job you ever had? Because everybody's got a story about, I don't know how small a market you might have started in.
So I'm one of, I think I'm really, really lucky because I actually started in TV when I was still in college. So the worst job I ever had was as a waitress, and you were looking at the world's worst waitress. Like, I routinely dropped things. Like, I remember spilling a whole beer on somebody. Like, I was just terrible. But I haven't had a bad TV job. I was in Rockford, Illinois as an intern when I was in school. And that was my first real job. And I went from there to Fort Wayne, and Fort Wayne to Indianapolis, and there to Speed/Fox. And then I went to ESPN. So, like, I feel like I've had a really good run. And I've been at ESPN now since January of 2008. So I just, can't complain.
Is that like a call to the bigs, the ESPN call?
I feel a little bit like it is, because I think if you're in this business and you're a sports fan and you've grown up wanting to do this job, for me it was like that was, you've got ESPN, right? It's up here. It sort of commands your attention. And that's where I wanted to be. And I think, you know, when I was little, if you asked me what do you want to be when you grow up? My answer was always, I wanted to be the Monday Night Football sideline reporter. But I don't think the, like, 11-year-old version of me would be terribly disappointed that I, quote unquote, settled for SportsCenter. I think that's a pretty solid job. And it's, you think about what you wanted to be at 11 and the twisty, windy road that you take to get where you are. And you may have had some surprising jobs along the way, but those surprises and the times that you said yes to something that you're like, oh, my God, I am in way over my head. I'm going to have to bust my ass to do this. It all leads to where you are now. And I'm just like, if I hadn't done some of the things, I never would have met my husband. I never would have ended up where I'm so grateful for the ride. And yes, I'm thrilled to be where I am.
Finishing up with Nicole Briscoe from ESPN, doing some work covering the Braves and the Cardinals for the next day or two. And we talk about watching your show all the time. And we said at the start of the conversation, we've known Elle for a long time.
Yeah.
You guys have fun. The 7 o'clock Sports Center, to me, it's appointment viewing because you guys enjoy working together.
And
you can sense that.
And I think, like, Elle and I don't often get a chance to work together, but sometimes she's filling in on my show tomorrow. She's going to work with Randy Scott, but she's normally with Matt Barry. And then she's filling in on Get Up right now with Laura Rutledge being out. But that's the thing. Like, who likes to get up at, you know, it's 7 o'clock Eastern, so it's 6 o'clock Central. Like, if you're up in the morning and you're watching us, like, yes, we get to talk about sport, but we also want to make it fun and relaxing. And, like, you're brushing your teeth. You're getting your gym bag ready. You're getting your kids out the door for school. We want to make you smile. We want to start your day in a good, positive way. And if we can do that while also making you just a little bit smarter about what you maybe missed the night before, because who can stay up till midnight if you got to get up at 5:30, right?
The man doesn't sleep.
Let's be honest. Like, some people, sleep is actually optional. For other people, it's not. So if we can make you smarter and have fun doing it, like, we're lucky.
Do you know what
I think?
We
have fun.
I'll tell you what I – one of the reasons I will disseminate between what it is I watch and what it is I don't watch, everybody knows the final score if they wanted to know it.
Yes.
Even by 7 o'clock in the morning,
yes.
If you're a diehard, you know your team won or lost last night. Do I really need to break down ERAs? No. At the end of the day, we're here to give you the things you might have missed, and quite honestly,
the stories behind it.
Exactly.
And that's my job in the morning. Like, if I'm working at night, it's my job to tell you how the team, you know, did it, and to actually show you what they did, because it just ended. Mm-hmm. You're just now learning of this. By the time the morning comes around, you know who won. It's my job to tell you how and why and the story behind the story and give you that last little bit of information. And we do have fun doing it. We really do. Randy and I have gotten into a really good rhythm over the last year.
How do you think you're doing with your Saturday morning signs? Do you think you're
my signs? I am not punny enough. I'm struggling with the sign off a little bit. So I'm taking suggestions. Mm-hmm. Randy's just like Mr. Comedian. He always has the edge on me there. So it's like, I think I'm going to bring in props this week instead of a sign. I think I'm going to try to buy the crew with props.
And you're gonna flip this whole thing right there on its ass.
Right. I'm going to try.
All right. Good for you. Okay. That's always a plan. Listen, when you think you're a little bit behind.
Oh, I'm behind.
Change it up a little bit.
Oh, and my prop bets are terrible. I won last week, though. We put prop bets every week. Mm-hmm. I was literally 0 for 4.
Ooh.
Terrible. This is why I don't bet. This
you're on a roll now.
This is why I don't host Daily Wager. But I won last week. I got one in. We're good.
Well, at least the goose egg has been removed. Now, working here, make sure you brought an overcoat. I'm sure you...
I have my scarf.
Good. It's a
little bit
chilly.
As I'm sitting here dripping in sweat.
Yes, record heat over the next couple of days.
We didn't have a spring. I don't think we're going to have a fall. It just doesn't feel like...
This is what scares me because it's like 80-something. It was 87 at my house yesterday, and today it's like 50 and raining. I am terrified that it's going to be just an awful winter that lasts forever.
That is a great way to end this conversation.
Great. Awesome. Come join me in Connecticut.
Nicole Briscoe, good to see you.
Thanks,
Thank you
guys.
For stopping by. Enjoy our fair city while you're here.
I will.
All right. Nicole Briscoe, again, working the Cardinals and the Braves over the next couple of days, joining us here outside of the Chop House Gate. It's Domino and Cellini on the Fan 680 and 93.7 FM.